Randy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Nice to join you today.
Well, Randy, let's start with, I know you were out in the East Coast again in Halifax. How much closer are we? Talking about an expansion team has happened for a long, long time, and you know it seems that talks are more serious, but you know, how many more steps have to occur before you think it's a reality?
Well, you know, really the big one is just the stadium deal. And on a positive note, the Schooner Sports and Entertainment Group have now completed their negotiations on the land deal. So they've built the land deal now into their business plan, and they will be submitting their business plan to Halifax Regional Council this coming week. So that was a really big milestone to get that to get the land deal completed, and now it's really, you know, in the hands of the Halifax Regional Council. Mayor Savage has been a big supporter. Of course, you know, they're going to want to do their work on the, you know, on the business plan and the economics. But so far, the mayor and the city, the regional councilors have been very supportive. And then it goes from there to the province and to Premier McNeil. He's also been very supportive. So I'd say, look, we're just taking each step, one step at a time. And I think there's lots of reasons to be optimistic. But you know what? You can't shortchange the process, and we got to work our way through it. But personally, I feel very good about it.
Okay. So realistically, they would have to get the building built. So like the earliest they could play, let's say council, regional council is like, yeah, we like it. The province rubber stamps it. Are we talking like the summer of 2021?
Well, last week when we were in Moncton, and that is the possibility that they play at the University of New Brunswick. You know, where we played the game last weekend. And you know, that decision will ultimately be made by Schooner Sports and Entertainment. But I'll tell you, we got so much great hospitality there last weekend. The city was alive. It was vibrant. There was a great mood. It would be, in my view, a great way to really tie that team into that New Brunswick market. Have them play perhaps a season or two there while the stadium is being built. So all of those things are possible. But right now, we got to get this stadium deal approved, and that's the number one. That's the number one issue. And if we can get that done, things look very good for a 10th team.
Okay, Randy, how has the feedback been on the salary cap for coaches?
Well, look, I don't think anyone, if you're in part of the non-player football operations budget, I don't think anybody's, you know, high-fiving, you know, that we've done this. Look, I think one of the important things is we've got to run a good business, and that's important to the coaches and the GMs. It's important to our training staff and all of our support staff on the football side. Look, personally, I think this was a big, important step for us to take. But we also have to find a way to get everybody engaged in a way of thinking about this bigger, more financially successful Canadian Football League, and then start sharing some of those victories with all of the people, including our coaches and non-player football operations people. So it was a good first step. Again, I'm not overwhelmed with all of the high-fiving I got that we did it. I think, as I said, it was an important step to make on behalf of the league to bring some fiscal discipline to that area. But I think there's a way forward to really engage our players, to engage our coaches and football operations people in being part of building this bigger league and sharing some of that wealth, sharing some of that success with the broader community.
Randy Ambrosi, Commissioner of the CFL, joins us. Randy, it's been a half a season. What's been the feedback from Mexico as far as, you know, viewership, if anything? What's the response been from having some of their players in the CFL?
Well, they are overwhelmed with how this project is gone. We had them in to spend some time with us about a month ago. They are full speed ahead on year two. They're going to be opening up roster spots for Canadian kids to go play football in their league. That's really positive. Hey, similarly, in Germany, looks like we're going to be able to create roster spots there. And we just finished having the Japanese Federation. It looks like the Japanese Football Federation will be joining us as well. I'm really excited about what year two and beyond are going to start looking like as we start seeing more players coming to our national scouting combine, more players for our coaches and GMs to select from. And then ultimately, I think those players are going to start having a much bigger impact on our game. And it's when they're getting regular playing time, I think that's when we're going to start seeing our real growth in TV ratings. So we took a pretty good first step this year. Lots to be proud of. This is early in a long game, but for the most part, lots of reasons to celebrate.
Randy Ambrosi, Commissioner, joins us. Randy, the one question that I get a lot, I have a lot of them today on text and Twitter, people wondering about, you know, more possibilities for, you know, like fantasy football, maybe even head-to-head fantasy football. They feel like, you know, that's been a big growth part for the NFL. A lot of young people, they don't even really like the NFL, but they love fantasy football, right? So then conversely, they think that they love the NFL. So how big of a product would that be to, you know, have you ever been approached by a tangible product that would make it worth for CFL?
Well, I think right now we're looking at all of that. In fact, we're having our board meeting in 2 weeks' time, and one of the things we're going to talk about is the launch of an innovation committee, and it's going to be a whole bunch of people coming together from all aspects of our game, from the football people, some of our marketing people, our broadcast partner, and we're going to look at everything. We're going to look for new ways to energize our game, to bring new fans into our game. And some of them will come to watch, watch in a traditional way. Some of them will be more casual. But our view is we want to gather every fan we can and have them enjoy our game on the basis of say. So absolutely, we've got to look at everything. I'm excited that we might get to single game sports betting at some point down the road here. That is certainly something that we've been talking with the government about. We think that's going to be another potential big step for our game when people can make bets on individual games. Right now, that's not allowed under Canadian law. We think that's probably going to change after this next election. That's really positive. So there's lots of reasons to get excited about that whole category where people get more engaged in the game because in a way they're kind of participating in the game, which is, I think, what you're describing.
Right. Is there concern right now? You see, like, the TV numbers are very strong. They're growing, but attendance at games has dropped in a lot of markets here in Edmonton, even Saskatchewan of all places. How much of a concern is that? And is there a way to reverse that trend?
Well, there is, and it's going to mean a lot of hard work and a lot of new ideas. Look, we're really only scratching the surface around all of the Canadians that we've welcomed into our stadiums. And, you know, we've got so many awesome traditional CFL fans that come to our games and they love every bit of it. Some of them, as you know, have been to 25, 30, 35, and 40 Grey Cups. It's time for us to welcome a whole new category, a whole new group of Canadians into our stadiums, but it's hard work. It just, you don't flip a switch. But I think it's also important to note that this whole business of getting fans into, you know, fans to attend games, it's getting harder for everyone. You know, we were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago with somebody from Alabama who was telling us that even at University of Alabama, the Crimson Tide, they've started to shrink the footprint of their stadium because they're finding it harder and harder to fill that stadium. And I think that's a reality. Now, you know, when I I'm not exactly a kid, when I, you know, was watching football when I was 15 to 20 and, you know, as I entered my CFL career, you know, we're talking about that 26-inch TV that was stuffed into a piece of furniture, the nice round glass in the front. So, of course, you were going to go to the game compared to watching that. Today, we've got 60, 70, 80-inch flat-screen TVs that, you can buy at the store for $700 or $800 and get a world-class, you know, viewing experience. So we've got to do more things in the stadiums. Look at what's happening in some of our stadiums in Ottawa, in Hamilton, you know, in Winnipeg, in the Rum Hut, in Saskatchewan, in the Pill Zone. You know, those are becoming kind of what you might almost describe them as social areas, nightclubs, if you will. And that's attracting a whole new crowd, a whole different type of crowd into our stadiums. We've got a lot of work to do there, but I'm not at all down on it. I think there's lots of, and hey, this weekend looks like we're going to have a sellout in Hamilton. Very likely going to have a sellout in Saskatchewan. And I was talking to John Bean, the league governor for the Stampeders. We'll have a very good crowd in Calgary this weekend. So, you know, hey, we have a lot of work to do, but lots of reasons to feel optimistic.
What about the negotiation list, Randy? I know they released 10 names. Is any reason why that isn't, like, if you look, fans in every sport, they want as much information as they can get. And if you had a website that had the negotiation list, and I know it's changing all the time, fans would be flocking there all the time. Oh, here's our neg list. Well, now I might watch Joe Dirt, who's playing for Alabama, for instance, right? Or what have you. Do the football people, I know they're very cautious, and you probably understand it more than ever, having been a player, that at times I think maybe the most superstitious group is football. It's, oh, somebody's watching our film. Oh, my goodness, they're going to steal something. But, you know, like the neg list being public for fans overall, I think would generate more interest.
Well, first of all, I want to meet this Joe Dirt guy, just for the record. No, seriously, we took a big step last year. Frankly, what you're describing to me is exactly what we should do. But, you know, we need to be always, always respectful of our football partners, you know, our head coaches and our GMs and all of our coaches. And I do think we took an important step last year that we're going to start publishing our neg list, and we have a portion of the neg list, and this is going to come up again as we push forward towards how we build a more vibrant Canadian Football League. These are the ideas we're going to put on the table, and I think, you know, inch by inch, we'll bring those partners in on why this is good for the game, why this is good for building fandom. So I was pleased last year that we took a big step, because it was the first time we did it. And I think now we have to look for how we can make more progress. I agree with you completely. Fans will love it. Now we just got to make sure we can bring our partners along for the ride in a respectful way.
Randy, always good to catch up with you. I appreciate your candor. Enjoy the Labor Day weekend.
Hey, and say hello to your fans and all great Edmontonians for me. And I look forward to seeing you again sometime soon.